The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I think that he is so vindictive that he will go after however he has to, through the IRS maybe, or even through sponsors to get us off the air, maybe, or you.
To have somebody saying, give me as much power as you can in this country so I can use it to go after other Americans, so I can use it to go after these subhuman internal enemies and I'll destroy them. Like, that's just not a good system. We have resources, we'll likely be fine, but I think there's a pattern where he picks out individual people and effectively terrorizes them.
They're going full Jim Jones now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like the Kool-Aid thing.
Yeah.
Is he losing it or what?
He's trying to reach people emotionally so that reason is off the table and we're just reacting emotionally.
Yeah.
He does not like elections. He does not like voting as a system by which we decide who's going to be the president.
Yeah, right.
And so he's trying to get rid of the American system of government. And that means getting rid of a government that does anything other than serve him. And that's what Project 2025 is all about.
Yeah.
And that exists everywhere in the world. And it has never existed here before. We're alive as American citizens in that time. And we're going to be the ones who decide if the American system of government survives or if it's taken over instead by a strong man authoritarian form.
Right.
Well, just one other thing. If the orange man wins next November, it's going to be much worse for Palestinians. I can say that.
So Donald Trump considers himself to be close friends with every one of those tyrants. Donald Trump has it completely reversed. He attacks democratically elected leaders in Europe who are freely elected. And he admires and praises communist tyrants.
I think that there's also the terror factor, which is, here's a guy, Donald Trump, who's talking about wreaking revenge on anybody who disagrees with him. This is Soviet-style talking. That's American. That's what we do in this country. We criticize our government. We're allowed to do it. Will Trump still allow us to do that? I don't think so. What kind of a country would elect that kind of leadership in its face to say, we're taking on a dictator? I don't think many countries said, we want a dictator. Right. They may end up with one, but they don't vote for one.
Everything they're afraid of is exactly what the dear leader has been carrying out on his political opponents. Just in many cases, ordinary Americans, certainly Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, all the lists that we put together last week, the Republicans right across the country that they're indicting, that they're going after. This is what this cold open reveals more than just what they're afraid of. It also reveals that they've been getting away with so many crimes. They're all in on it. And they're terrified. They're terrified, not of retribution or revenge. They're terrified of justice. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. A little bit out of breath. I just barely made it up here in time for the start of the program. In any event, you can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment, please. You can also email the show, TD@TheTrumpet.com. I loved how, I think it was Joy Behar there at the start, she talked about he might even use the IRS to persecute his opponent. Oh, you mean like Obama did, the dear leader in 2012, going after all of those conservative groups using the IRS, Lois Lerner. Oh, yes. They are guilty of exactly what they're projecting on what Trump might do. All of these crimes, this is from Just the News earlier today. The FBI learned as far back as 2016 that Hunter Biden and his partners had plotted to set up a new venture in tax-friendly Liechtenstein that would be capitalized by a whopping $120 million investment from the controversial owner of the Ukrainian energy firm, Burisma. They knew this. According to John Solomon, the FBI knew all about this in 2016, coming right there toward the end of Joe Biden's vice presidency, selling favors to the whole world, including America's bitter enemies. And the Biden crime family just cashing in a $120 million deal. These are from documents evidently handed over by Devin Archer. They're not even on the Hunter laptop. These revelations that John Solomon's been fighting for 5 years to get his hands on. Where's the New York Times? Where's the failing Washington Post? You think there's going to be a meltdown on Joe Scarborough tomorrow over this? They're all being exposed. And of course they'd like it to just be the gun crime and lying on the federal form. And then that's it. Laptops out the door, laptops out the window. That's all that they really got the Bidens on. So much more. It says here, the cache of documents was recently turned over. Well, it mentions Devin Archer. It says the new evidence shows the major investment plan was being built at the time when Hunter Biden was serving on Burisma's board of directors, and Joe Biden was still serving as Barack Obama's vice president in charge of U.S.-Ukraine policy. And how can we forget? We'll never forget the big guy going over there and saying, hey, you don't get rid of this prosecutor that's investigating all this corruption in Ukraine, then we're not going to give you $1 billion. Then they went after Trump on a phone call, a perfect one at that, a phone call where he basically told Zelensky, you know, there's quite a lot of corruption that even the Bidens are connected to, and it's involving Ukraine. You can see why they went after Donald Trump so viciously. It was all part of the cover-up. It was to cover up the Biden crime family's crimes. They're all in on it, aren't they? Obama. Obama's FBI knew all about it. But see, by that point, Obama had weaponized the FBI and the DOJ to just go after Republicans. He learned how to do that well with the IRS back in 2012. Yeah, all of these conservative groups investigated by the IRS. It was meant to help Barack Obama get reelected. He was learning how to cheat on elections even back then. And in 2020, I mean, they really mastered it. There was this story earlier, I think Richard covered it in the Trumpet brief yesterday, about John Kerry, you know, the Secretary of State. Under Obama, he had a secret email address as well. So you can add him to a long line of prominent Democrats who set up secret emails, secret email accounts, or in the case of Hillary Clinton, email servers. Joe Biden used an anonymous email while serving as Mr. Obama's vice president. As I say, go back and read the Trumpet brief from yesterday morning. Robert L. Peters at PCI.gov, a.k.a. Joseph Robinette Biden. John Kerry had one. This is all being uncovered by Senator Grassley, Ron Johnson as well. Think anyone will be held to account? Look at what they were getting away with during the Obama years. You can see there. Subscribe at thetrumpet.com if you'd like to receive those morning briefs. Fox News, just to, again, carry on with the crimes. To carry on with the crimes being committed, Fox News says an illegal immigrant, Ecuadorian, is in New York Police Department custody after a broad daylight sex attack in which police say a machete-wielding man approached two 13-year-olds, one boy and one girl, tied them together by the wrists and raped the girl at a popular park in Queens. He did it right out in the open, in broad daylight. Add this to the long list of criminals. Criminals being invited into the country. Gang members. They're coming from all over the world. And what's Joe Bama's response to this? It says from the Wall Street Journal, Biden gives legal status to immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens. He's announcing all of these executive actions happening this week, last week, this week. Yeah, we want to give them legal status. We've got to fast track it so that they can eventually vote. So if they can't vote this November, they can vote next November or the one after that. If they can somehow manufacture these votes this time, you can be sure they'll do it. They, as I say, they've become quite good at harvesting ballots. It says here the program size would make it one of the largest immigration initiatives started in recent decades, rivaled only by the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that former President Barack Obama created to benefit Dreamers in 2012. And looking into this, Sam said that to qualify for this program, you just have to go and tell the federal government that, I came in here illegally. And what does Joe Obama's federal government do in response? Rewards you with legal status. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. Again, this is something, forget about the crimes, that as far as they're concerned, these radical leftists, they don't commit crimes. The illegals. No. In fact, it's so much lower than just ordinary Americans. They keep throwing that out there as if they know, as if they've analyzed the numbers. There's a lot of these crimes that aren't even reported because once they find out the perp is an illegal, well, the regime media likes to downplay those. There's a few exceptions. Listen to this montage of Joy Reid and Representative Jayapal as they celebrate giving legal status to as many illegals as possible. Clip 4.
Well, it is huge. It is the biggest thing that we have seen since DACA in terms of protections for people. 500,000 people, Joy. And these are folks who are married to U.S. citizens, have been here for at least 10 years, have U.S. citizen children in some cases, not in some cases. And to be able to say to them, President Biden is keeping your family together. It's going to be, it really is a transformational thing. I got tears in my eyes today at the press conference.
And you had a lot of grace in saying it. The Republicans wanted to hold it as an election issue. They're following Donald Trump's orders to keep it. They want chaos at the border so that he gets reelected.
We, thanks to President Biden and Democrats, are at the lowest level ever, in the last 50 years of unemployment. So why not let people work?
And record low crime rate. Also immigrants commit fewer crimes and they're actually great citizens. Let me show you the this is one of the reasons that people have these sort of thinking. Here's the three cable networks reporting of this. Was our banner said, soon Biden announces legal protections for undocumented spouses of U.S. citizens. CNN's banner said, Biden announces new protections for some undocumented spouses. Here was Fox's banner, migrant arrested for raping 13-year-old in New York City.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of the problem, right?
Exactly.
Is that you have
that's
a lot of fear mongering.
Exactly. You know, we have brought in so much money through immigration, and the surge in immigration has already brought in so much money and will continue to do so.
Absolutely. And without migrants, our economy would collapse.
That's right.
We would have a recession immediately.
Right.
We need a wide open border or else the economy would collapse. I mean, what nation says this or believes this except for these people? This lunatic fringe that doesn't even make up a majority of Americans. And there they bring up the Fox banner about the 13-year-old getting raped. And I believe that woman was about to laugh as if that's a laughing matter, as if shame upon Fox for covering the rape of a 13-year-old girl. These people ought to be ashamed of themselves, inviting in the whole world, the third world at that. And then there they are, saying, celebrating the legal status for the illegals, even as it destroys the country. The receipts really and truly aren't fully in yet. all the damage. As I say, a lot of the corruption, the crime, the raping, the murder, the drug trafficking, the child trafficking, the sex trafficking. So much of that goes on in the shadows of American society. And it's just getting so much worse. In the Bible, I mean, you look at Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. It speaks to this point, just being invaded, basically. That's in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Just want to draw special attention to this book today. Neil Ferguson has a great article about Soviet America. And he's basically just going through some relatively recent history with how the Soviet Union collapsed back in the 1970s, 80s, early 1990s. And there's some pretty eerie parallels between the United States today and what happened to the Soviet Union. And so much of this, it's happening because of the sickness from within. We're doing it to ourselves. Die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln once said. But here is the regime getting away with all of these crimes. And the regime media happy to cover it all up. Happy to prop up Joe Biden. I mean, the cheap fakes. That's the new talking point. The cheap fake. This really has gotten under their skin. What Biden did at the G7, just wandering off, what he did at the fundraiser the other night, having to be led by the hand. These senior moments that he's having, freezing while people are around him celebrating and clapping, and he's there frozen. Or trying to clap along, that didn't work so well either when the music's playing. Listen to Adam Kinzinger. He's the radical leftist, a Republican in name only. He hates Trump something fierce. Listen to him now as he tries to prop up Joe Biden and compares him with Donald Trump, whose brain is broken, says Kinzinger, clip 10.
But these videos, I mean, they're blatant lies. And it used to be, Jim, back in the day, it would be kind of the dark corners of the internet that would put out these fake videos. And then responsible people like members of Congress and the Senate or the RNC would say, no, we're not going to do that. They're the ones pushing this now. This whole Joe Biden wandering at Normandy, all you had to do was pan out and see that he was talking. He's doing exactly what I would have done as a military guy, which is go over and talk to them and not the other state leaders. You know, him at the fundraiser, if you actually zoom in on his face, he's very mobile. He's motioning. He's smiling at people. He's not frozen. But we're going to see this for the next 5 months. So people, just guard yourself when you see those videos. Wait to make a judgment until you see the full video in context.
Right, with Biden, make sure you look at the entire video so that you can get everything in context. These are the same people that say, we're not going to show you any of Donald Trump's speeches. We are going to blot that out. I mean, if there is anything to show, like if he talks about sharks, we'll tell you about that. We'll definitely tell you about that. These people are the kings of selective editing. They do it all the time. And I suppose the conservative right, sometimes they don't help themselves when they do create the fake memes. There is a lot of fakery and phoniness all over the map. But when you look at the real feeds, the continuous feeds, and you play a selection of it, and it's real, it actually happened. And there they are. The regime's there, to coin a new phrase, cheap fakes. We're going to see this for five more months, says Kinzinger. Jesse Waters is right. They're going to try more censorship. They're going to try to blot those things out. They're going to go after people that would dare selectively edit or just take a tiny chunk of a full video. It happens all the time. We do it on this program. How can we possibly play every single minute of an event? We give you the highlights, or maybe the lowlights. But there they are to prop up a man who's he's in obvious cognitive decline. And then they make the rounds, these talking heads. to tell you that it's Donald Trump who's senile. Remember Ramin Sitota? He was the guy that got super, super offended because Donald Trump forgot who he was. He's out there. He's fresh off of writing the book, Ladies. What is it? Ladies with Something. A deep dive into The View. Ladies Who Punch. I think that's the name. A deep dive into. Now he's writing about Trump and his time on The Apprentice. Listen to him from one of the shows last night, clip 9.
What were your biggest takeaways from sitting down with him, you know, right after he left the White House, when his political power is probably the lowest it's been since 2015, and how he reflected on when he was hosting The Apprentice? And, you know, the ratings were soaring in that first season and just kind of what that looked like for him.
He was very deflated. He was conflicted. He was angry about the way in which the press had treated him. He still believed that he won the election. And he was happiest when he talked to me about hosting The Apprentice. It was the thing that brought him the most joy. We watched clips of the show together. We watched the theme song, and he really lit up. He watched his firing of Omarosa. And then he would talk about what he did at the White House, and he would become gloomy and resentful and unhappy and refer to Afghanistan and Joe Biden. But he also seemed to think that he still had some foreign policy powers. And there was one day where he told me he needed to go upstairs to deal with Afghanistan, even though he clearly didn't.
He told you that while you were interviewing him at Trump Tower, he told you he needed to go upstairs to deal with Afghanistan?
With the quote, the Afghanistan is how he referred to it.
Oh, the Afghanistan. Well, what a bumbling idiot. He was operating as if he was still over America's foreign policy. And he also said the Afghanistan. This guy's getting a lot of time. He's at a lot of roundtables at the moment. This guy right here. He's making the rounds to tell you that Donald Trump is crazy. Donald Trump's brain is broken. Donald Trump is in, you know, there was a guy, he has something like 400,000 followers. He sends out a picture saying, here's that time when Don Jr. had to lead his father by the hand down the ramp. There it is. 400,000 followers. And there's this guy saying, I bet that's not going to get quite the coverage that Joe Biden's frozen moments are getting. And it turns out if you watch the full video of this, Don Jr. shook his hand. Don Sr. just finishes an event. His son is down below. They shake each other's hand. And that's it. It lasted for like a half second. And then President Trump just continued on walking on his own. These people, you talk about derangement. Trump derangement syndrome. And yet, despite all of these attacks, here he is. Here he is making this incredible, incredible comeback. You know, the New York Post had a headline with his colossal border failure. Biden has engineered Trump's amazing comeback. That's the New York Post writing about Trump's amazing comeback. It was like 2 seconds ago when the Post referred to the Florida man, who is now going to run for another election or run for president. They just dismissed it from the start. Surely it's going to be DeSantis. And then after a while, well, surely it's going to be Haley. And then here comes the New York Post finally coming around. It's hard to take any of these outlets that seriously, left or right. This guy on CNN, Harry Enten, how much longer is CNN going to keep him around as he talks about the polling that favors Donald Trump? This is clip 5.
As you mentioned, the incumbent committed the cardinal sin of initially backing Ron DeSantis. How dare he? How dare he? And, you know, you look at primaries so far this season, and Trump's endorsement has been as good as gold. Before tonight, only one candidate who he backed lost their primary. Look at that. 88 wins to 1. And I went back. I looked at 2022. I looked at 2020. I looked at 2018. More Trump-endorsed candidates are winning this year than in any year prior, of at least as a percentage so far.
I thought Donald Trump just was like a drain on Republican races. He's the reason they didn't win as many as they should have. a couple years ago, right? This exposes the lies of the talking heads on the regime media circuit. They've told us a jillion times that Trump's finished. Trump's not coming back. 88-1. Who has this kind of impact on Republican races? Or who has this kind of success rate for his endorsements? 88-1. This New York Post article talks about the invasion at the southern border, this murderer from El Salvador. A day later, an Ecuadorian migrant. They bring up the rape case as well. President Biden's response: to announce what CBS News reported was one of the largest immigration relief programs in recent history for hundreds of thousands of immigrants living in the country without proper documents. So the migrants are raping, murdering, smuggling. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them are. And you're not even, if you're Joy Reid, you don't even report it. Or you make fun of Fox News for reporting it. Less than 4 years ago, Trump sicked a mob on the Capitol. This is the New York Post, remember. And his own vice president foisting a national embarrassment on the American people. So you see where the Post really stands. They're all on board for the January 6th hoax. The Fedsurrection. If you want to call it anything, call it a Fedsurrection, like Darren Beatty does over at Revolver. And they didn't want Trump in from the beginning. They just referred to him, the former president of the United States, when he announced that he was putting his hat in the ring for 2024. The New York Post snidely announced that, yeah, a Florida man decides to get back into it. The Post says here today now they want him back. And who can blame them? On almost every conceivable issue, Biden has steered the country in the wrong direction. Well, I mean, you had a hand in installing him. The Post was like the Post did some good work with the Biden laptop. But outside of that, I mean, as soon as they stole the election, they just got right in line with Laura Ingraham and Fox News and all the rest. And said, you know what, we're not even going to look into all of these charges of stealing. The ballot boxes, the drop boxes, the mules, the harvesting, the dead people voting. If the conservative media would have stayed on the story as only Donald Trump did, they could have exposed this. They could have prevented this disaster of a presidency. Joe Obama. They could have helped to prevent this, but they didn't do their job. And now here we are 4 years later. And again, it was providential. Look at what God has exposed. Look at how he's exposed Obama. More crimes. $120 million deal. Burisma and the Biden crime family. On almost every conceivable issue, Biden has steered the country in the wrong direction. But now they surely did everything above board with the 2020 presidential election. Everything else has just been a disaster. Everything else, I mean, it's been criminal activity, really. But the election, I mean, that was secure. That was perfect. Obama's deep state made sure of that. How ridiculous it is to hold to that thinking, as some still do. In some cases, it almost seems as if the president is thumbing his nose at the public. Like when he named a profligate spending bill the Inflation Reduction Act. But no failure stands out quite like the crisis he's manufactured at the southern border. Think of it. He's manufactured this. This is all part of the fundamental transformation. And yet, as the New York Post acknowledges, as Harry Enten acknowledges over at CNN, Donald Trump's just running away with it, judging by the polls. So now, I mean, I brought this out yesterday. We played that montage of the radical left's attacks on the courts. Actually, I should say court, because in the case of all the courts underneath the Supremes, I mean, they are to be obeyed and accepted. Their rulings are to be accepted, especially if they convict Trump. But now with the Supreme Court, I mean, it is a completely different message. Because you see, Trump appointed three of those justices. And the radical left sees the Supreme Court as a grave danger. And if the election is in any way determined by the Supreme Court, what do you think that they're going to do in response? The radicals, I mean. The Marxist radicals. Listen to these attacks coming from, well, first of all, as far as their support for the lower level, this is MSNBC talking about another Trump supporter, another Trump attorney that's being targeted by Obama's deep state. Clip 8.
Another day, another Trump insider staffing up criminal defense lawyers, another member of Team Trump facing legal trouble today. It's Trump advisor Boris Epstein. He's been arraigned in Arizona for his role in setting up fake slates of electors so that Donald Trump could overturn the will of the people and successfully steal the 2020 presidential election. Trump jokingly refers to him as, quote, my psychiatrist, and a former Trump lawyer who tried to stop the Trump coup plot called him a, quote, idiot, end quote. Whatever you want to call him, Boris Epstein is one of 51 Trump allies facing charges for attempting a coup in America.
51 Trump allies facing charges. These people, you heard the cold open. They're terrified at the thought of being held to the same standard. And by saying standard, I'm not suggesting that these individuals are guilty. They didn't do anything. And Obama's deep state wants to put them in prison. Just like so many of those January 6 protesters. You can be sure when their protesters turn out following whatever might happen in November, they're going to give them cover. They'll pay their legal defense. They'll get them out of jail the next day if they can. Just contrast what you, with when it's Trump people being targeted, they well, you saw it right there. They're gleeful. They love it. Another day, how did she put it? Another day, another Trump insider. We got another one. Then listen to them talk about the Supreme Court. As I say, what a stark contrast. Clip 1.
The Supreme Court has never been as out of kilter as it is today. I mean, never. Look, the fact of the matter is that this has never been a court that's been this far out of step.
The power of the Supreme Court is determined by appointments. It is determined by elections. And so, you know, what we're seeing now is a byproduct of, in 2016, there were a whole bunch of folks who, for whatever reason, sat out. They said, well, we're not enthusiastic enough. We're not feeling inspired enough. Why bother? And hopefully we have learned our lesson, because these elections matter in very concrete ways. And we're now seeing how much it matters when it comes to the Supreme Court.
Basically said, it's never been more out of kilter than it is today. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, it's just operating like an arm of the Republican Party, which is now completely under the thumb of Donald Trump.
It's so hard to watch these decisions. And then you pair that with kind of the ethical lapses, is a very diplomatic way of saying it. I mean, is why can't these justices be hauled before the Senate? I mean, they could be subpoenaed. What else could be done that isn't being done?
There's no binding ethics code on the Supreme Court. So the highest court in the land has the lowest ethical standards. They're the only judges in America that don't have a binding ethics code.
This is not about partisanship. This is the fact that the highest court in the land should have the highest ethical standards, not the lowest.
I mean, I think there's a crisis on the court. I mean, in particular with respect to Justice Alito and Justice Thomas. What Justice Thomas is engaged in is just a grift. I think it would be irresponsible for the president not to talk about the fact that this court is becoming brazenly corrupt and brazenly political.
It's fairly evident at this point that the Roberts Court is working almost exclusively to enact a conservative agenda.
Clarence Thomas is 75 years old. He doesn't look especially healthy. He doesn't look like he likes his job. He has already been identified as the most corrupt Supreme Court justice in history.
These justices won't allow themselves to be subjected to honest fact findings.
I've been watching the Supreme Court, and they're, you know, pretty ethically challenged, in my opinion, especially two of them.
But on the other hand, then you've got everybody trying to stand up for the legal system, say it's not rigged, it's legitimate, we need to support it. But the Supreme Court is flagrantly corrupt.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
let's say it comes down to a single state. And there I really do worry. And there is simply no institution we can rely on. I would not want to rely on the Supreme Court mm-hmm. in another close presidential contest any more than we saw in Bush v. Gore. And because there's such little confidence in the court, that would be, I think, a different kind of catastrophe.
These people will reject whatever the court does or says. They've got some big rulings coming out in the next couple weeks that could even have an impact on these show trials aimed at Donald Trump. You see what they're all, again, the same talking points, just like the cheap fakes. And there's Lawrence O'Donnell. What's his name? Chief Justice is 75 years old. I guess he's not. Who's that guy? I had a brain freeze. I'm going to be on Lawrence O'Donnell's show. Lawrence O'Donnell is 72. So stop picking on Clarence Thomas. There you go. They hate Thomas and Alito especially. And they hate the ones that Trump added to the court after that. They hate the fact that there's a conservative majority on the court. My father said back in 2020, by the way, that he felt like that the, based on Amos 7 and verse 13, that he felt like the Supreme Court would have to intervene and do something after the election steal. Well, it turns out they didn't do it. But it is interesting. Here we are 4 years later. And you see, as I said on yesterday's show, it's as if the Supreme Court's kind of being backed into a corner and that they're going to have to do something about all these cases aimed at Trump, maybe even the election itself. My father wrote this in January of 2019. When in Amos 7, verse 13, Amaziah says it's the king's court, the word kings is a different Hebrew word than when he talked about the king's chapel. It means kingdom. So again, I've gone through some of these details before, but it talks about basically what my father has written over the years is that the individual coming in the spirit of Jeroboam is going to receive help or support from the kingdom's court, the highest court in the land. And for America, of course, that would be the Supreme Court. I believe this prophetic account in Amos 7 implies that there is a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, one that favors Jeroboam. Well, he's certainly right about that, because look at the way the regime reacts to anything and everything coming out of the Supreme Court. Their heads are exploding. It says here, this is another article, November 30th, 2020, it looks like little, if anything, will be resolved before some of these issues come before the Supreme Court. That was my father writing about all the corruption going on there in the November election from 2020. As I say, it turns out that the courts didn't do much of anything. They were like the New York Post and Fox News. They just stepped aside and let Joe Obama overthrow the government. Carry out an insurrection. Carry out a coup. That was like the final act of the coup against Donald Trump. The one that started when he came down the escalator, basically. Fundamentally transformed the United States. Obama said he was going to do that in 2008. And look at what we have seen since. I mentioned that article from Neil Ferguson. Maybe we can take a short break and then we'll come back and just hit a few high spots from this article. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
With former President Donald Trump, he could possibly be our president again. Given that you know him personally, from a public health perspective, do you believe he is fit to lead us if he is elected president?
Who my only care and goal is the safety and the protection of the American public and their health. But he could have said when the masks came out and the CDC said wear a mask, instead of saying I don't want to wear a mask, he could have said mask saves lives.
I have a responsibility to preserve my own personal integrity and a responsibility to the American public. That if you look at red states versus blue states, because of people getting less vaccinated because you're a Republican versus a Democrat, there are more deaths and hospitalizations in red states versus blue states. That's horrible.
But they just have to work harder and get the word out that these people are lying. Not only is the RNC lying, but also mainstream media outlets are now all in on the lies.
This is an opportunity to redeem yourself. And if you could name three LGBTQ advisors for your campaign and three drag queens in San Francisco.
Where you be getting all these cabins from? That's what my people want to know.
Where do I get them?
All right. So some people saying this ordeal might have ruined the best chance to hold Trump accountable for trying to end democracy. Now, what would you say to all the haters out there?
Well, I don't know what the haters are thinking, but what I will say is under my leadership, we successfully secured a valid legal indictment, the charging document.
I have been saying for weeks, even months now, to my friends, that Joe Biden has a quiet constituency that nobody is looking at, nobody is listening to, but it's showing up in this poll.
Few tales from the upside down world, celebrating the evil, the lies, the deceit. I said in the first segment, I just wanted to draw a little bit of attention to the United States and Britain and prophecy. Because no political movement or no political comeback is going to fix the many problems facing the United States. It was reported yesterday that the Congressional Business Office expects the U.S. debt, it's sitting at $35 trillion currently, and it's supposed to balloon up to $50 trillion over the next 10 years. $50 trillion. Where does it end? Maybe a better question is, how does this end? National debt will exceed $50 trillion by 2034, says the Washington Post. This is that piece from Neil Ferguson. The U.S. economy might be the envy of the rest of the world today, but recall how American experts overrated the Soviet economy in the 1970s and 80s? And yet you insist the Soviet Union was a sick man more than it was a superpower, whereas the United States has no equal in the realm of military technology and firepower. Well, you can't really make a comparison like this, can you? Actually, no, says Ferguson. We have a military that is simultaneously expensive and unequal to the tasks it confronts. He says, as I read Wicker's report, referring to some watchdog report, I kept thinking of what successive Soviet leaders said until the bitter end, that the Red Army was the biggest and therefore the most lethal military in the world. The Soviets, they kept beating their chest. They kept rattling the sabers, saying we're the best, saying we're a superpower. On paper it was, but paper was what the Soviet bear turned out to be made of. It could not even win a war in Afghanistan despite 10 years of death and destruction. Now, why does that sound familiar? It says here, on paper, the U.S. defense budget does not indeed exceed those of all the other members of NATO put together. But what does that defense budget actually buy us? As Wicker argues, not nearly enough to contend with the coalition against democracy that China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea have aggressively been building. It says here, the federal government will almost certainly spend more on debt service than on defense, or defense, I should say, this year. More on debt service. When does this total collapse occur? That's where we're headed. What one leader could come in and reverse this kind of curse? It says here, the recent data on American mortality are shocking. Life expectancy has declined in the past decade in a way we do not see in comparable developed countries. The main explanations are a striking increase in deaths due to drug overdoses, alcohol abuse, and suicide, and a rise in various diseases associated with obesity. Life expectancy. I gave you the story the other day where we're just not having babies. We're not building the family. We're struggling with drugs, suicide. Suicide accounted for 569,000 deaths, again, of working age Americans over the same period. That's from, I think the period it's marked is between 1990 and 2017. Drugs and alcohol were responsible for 1.3 million deaths. Metabolic and cardiac causes of death, such as hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and coronary heart disease, also surged in tandem with obesity. It's a pretty good snapshot, Ferguson's piece here, of the many curses that we're bringing on ourselves. In the Soviet Union, the great lies were that the party and the state existed to serve the interests of the workers and peasants, and that the United States and its allies were imperialists, little better than Nazis. The Nazis had been in the great patriotic war. Further on, the article says, the equivalent falsehoods in late Soviet America are that the institutions controlled by the Democratic Party, the federal bureaucracy, the universities, the major foundations, and most of the big corporations are devoted to advancing hitherto marginalized racial and sexual minorities, and that the principal goals of the U.S. foreign policy are to combat climate change or to help other countries defend themselves without sending U.S. troops to war. Look, we're helping the world. We're solving climate change. We're here for the little guy. These are all lies. Ferguson says, in reality, policies to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion do nothing to help poor minorities. Instead, the sole beneficiaries appear to be a horde of apparatchik DEI officers. Further on, it says, a bogus ideology that hardly anyone really believes in, but everyone has to parrot unless they want to be labeled dissidents. Sorry, I mean deplorables. Those are the enemies that the federal government is going after here in the United States. A population that no longer regards patriotism, religion, having children, or community involvement as important. Check. He's just going through all the checks. How about a massive disaster that lays bare the utter incompetence and mendacity and pervades every level of government? Check. Just instead of Chernobyl, insert COVID. And here's Fauci making the rounds again. Oh, if only President Trump would have worn a mask. We might have been able to save lives in the red states. He knows. He's science. So he knows red states. Now, this is how he tells the story. The red states had all the deaths, all the destruction. Politicizing the death count coming from COVID when it was actually happening. Remember the lies? Dying with COVID. Just so that they can bump up the numbers. That was all part of the scaremongering. They had to have that in place to steal the election. 100 million ballots distributed all over the country. Mail-in ballots. I can't wait until after the return of Christ and we get an exact count on how many fraudulent ballots there were in the 2020 election. It had to be millions, but what if it was like tens of millions? We'll find out at some point. How about a massive disaster? Check. And while I make no claims to legal expertise, I think I recognize Soviet justice when I see it. In a New York courtroom, the legal system being abused in the hope not just of imprisoning, but also of discrediting the leader of the political opposition. That's Soviet-style justice, says Ferguson, and he's exactly right. Look around. Look at what's happening. Look at the sickness from within. We aren't going to be beating our chest for much longer about how powerful we are, about how we're saving the little guy, about how we're going to stop climate change. He says here, yet we also need to contemplate the possibility that we have done this to ourselves, just as the Soviets did many of the same things to themselves. Are we the Soviets? Look around you. He's writing here about the death of the American empire, the death of the greatest single superpower in world history. And you can read all about what the Bible says regarding that death, regarding that collapse. If you look into the United States and Britain in prophecy, all the literature that we make available on this program, we offer without cost or obligation. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. And so you can call our 800 number. I mean, we'll even pay for the phone call. 1-866-930-3024. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. And of course, you can get to any and all of our literature if you visit our website, thetrumpet.com. A couple of emails. I've got 1 minute left. Thank you so much for presenting us with the truth of the news without the barrage of infomercials. You all do a fantastic job. We love you. Thank you. I might have read this yesterday. If I did, forgive me. But it says, thank you very much for the great interview with Richard Palmer, or that Richard Palmer had with Jim Ferguson. As a daily TD viewer and Trumpet Magazine subscriber, I was aware of a lot of the information presented in the interview, but Mr. Ferguson is so knowledgeable about such a variety of areas discussed. I appreciated his input. It was nice to hear his very favorable comments about Gerald Fleury and Stephen Fleury and his familiarity with the work of the Philadelphia Church of God. One final one, I want to commend Sam for replaying Mr. Fleury's Key of David program from 2013. I watched the replay. I couldn't help but think, what would General Flynn think about that 2013 Key of David, considering his own lecture at Armstrong Auditorium promoting the Constitution? This is from a couple weeks ago. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.